We see here in John 13, 2, right after that Last Supper, that it was the devil that put into the heart of a man that was called Judas Iscariot. And it mentions his father, Simon. Simon's son, to betray him. Betrayal will come from the devil. There's much in the Word of God that you can apply to your own life, your own family. Don't be surprised if the devil enters someone else's heart to betray you. And you need to be watchful that the devil doesn't come into your heart to betray someone else. The important phrase that's used there, right after that famous name, Judas Iscariot, it mentions his family. It mentions his father, Simon. Simon's son. Maybe we'll learn some things about it this morning. Heavenly Father, I pray that you might bless in the study of your word and in the preaching of your word as well. Have your will be done within our lives. May we be stronger. May we be wiser because of the study this morning. Again, Holy Spirit, I pray that you wouldn't be hindered, that we would close no doors before you, but we would open all doors into our heart and our mind, that you might be able to change us. We need changing, Lord. We need to be more like Jesus. Help us to do that as the preaching goes forth this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Call your attention to verse 26 as well. Chapter 13, verse 26. Jesus answered and said, "He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it." And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Fathers always have an influence on their children, either for good or bad. Either a good example or a bad example. The upbringing in the home is important. For sure, in someone, a child turning out right, living for the Lord, isn't it unusual? The one that everybody knows, even the unsaved know that name, Judas. But hardly anybody knows about Simon. But they know Simon's son. Judas, a son that a father can be proud of, right? It says Iscariot. You see that? That's a phrase that it means a man from Kerioth. Talking about where he lived, where he came from. Kerioth in the Bible is in the southern part of Judah, south of Judah. And the word Simon means hearing, to listen. All of those names mean something that we kind of look over a lot of times. We see a lot of people. Matter of fact, we find 9 in the New Testament called Simon. It was a very popular name for fathers to name their children. Even Peter himself. Peter's real name is Simon. So sometimes they call him Simon Peter. You see, Jesus renamed him Peter, which means a hard rock. He was talking about his hard heart as well. The rock in the Bible always refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the church isn't founded on Peter, it's founded on the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. But also, you see the word Simon, the name Simon. Simon the Canaanite. He was one of the apostles. So there was 2 Simons, actually, in the apostles. Now, you can always find the names of the apostles either in Mark chapter 3 or Matthew chapter 10. They're all listed there, all 10 of them. And so you see that that was a popular name. Simon's son. Go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We're going to look at a lot of scripture this morning. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, then verse 7, talks about the children and the fathers. It says, "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." The name of the father was Simon. Being a father is very important. It's a big job to be the head of the household and to do raise your children, like it says there in verse 7. The things of the Word of God. In the context here, we're supposed to be taught to them diligently. To talk about them. Talk about the Word of God in the house. When you sit, when you walk by the way, when you lie down. You think fathers are doing that today? Do you think we have the kind of Christians we have today just by accident? Or is it because the wrong teaching, the wrong emphasis, the wrong example is being put before our children today? We certainly have a hard culture, and kids have a hard time. And everything that's going on in the public school system and everything that's broadcast in any way, shape, or form, whether it's on the TV or YouTube or TikTok or any of these others that are destroying our children. And so we are to control that and so that they do grow up to be ones that we could be proud of and that the Lord could be proud of as well. While you're right there in Deuteronomy, go back to chapter 4 and verse 9. Chapter 4 and verse 9. It says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. In other words, the children that your sons will have as well. Even though you're a grandpa, grandma, you're to be teaching your grandchildren the things of God. They'll learn about other things for sure, but you need to teach them what's right. You see, out here in the world today, the culture is, well, just to make sure you're going to have a good marriage, you need to live with somebody before you get married. No, that's sin. Always has been sin. Always will be sin. That's fornication. Sex before marriage is fornication. So, you be a good example and raise them according to what the Word of God says, and so that they will have a good marriage. And he says, continue to do that. Keep it before their eyes, because they're real quick to forget. Don't allow stuff before their eyes that's going to take them away from the Lord. Keep that in front of them, the things that are important for sure. Go to Exodus chapter 20. The second book of the Bible. And everybody should know what Exodus 20 is. It's the oral giving of the law. They're on Mount Sinai. How many givings of the law were there?
Ten.
No, there's Ten Commandments. How many times were the Ten Commandments given?
Three.
That's right, three. First one was orally. It says God spake. See verse 1? God spake all these words. Then God wrote them. Moses, when he came down from the mount, he was angered and he broke them. So then a third giving had to be given as well, which continued on. But it says here in chapter 20 and in verse 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them to serve them, for I, the Lord God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So that's the second commandment. Not to make any image. And the father's example will be carried on through their children. Judas Iscariot, Simon's son. Interesting that God brings that up. It's going to be very interesting as we stand before the Lord and give an account for what we have done or we haven't done at the end of life, or at the rapture, either one. Proverbs 22:6. Who knows that by heart? Every father should know it. Train up a child in the way that he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. So there has to be fathers involved diligently at home, is what we just read before. Judas didn't have that, obviously. His father had a lot to do with it, or God wouldn't have mentioned it at all. There's some things about Judas we need to learn this morning, because we forget so quickly, too. We need to be reminded. First of all, Simon's son, Judas, was in the best of company. He was with 11 others, 11 other apostles. He was right there rubbing elbows with a great believer like John, a great soul winner like Andrew, a great preacher like Peter, and of course, a great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He had the best right in front of him. So you can't blame his sin on that, and that the devil knew this was a breeding ground. His heart was open, Judas, to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. And sure enough, that's what happened. 2 Corinthians 6:14 tells you not to hang around with those unbelievers. We're to be separate from them, it tells us in that passage. Everyone should know 2 Corinthians 6:14-17. But how many unsaved people are you friends with? And they're influencing you rather than you influencing them. That's not going to work at all. That's a recipe for disaster for sure. Go to Proverbs chapter 28. The book of Proverbs in chapter 28. Proverbs 28 and verse 7. It says, "Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father." You see, over and over again, the Bible connects the father with the son, the son with the father. And so it was with Judas as well. Look at Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. We see what God says, not what's popular out here in the world. We don't let our children think that it's okay to do the things that are out here in the world. That'll be just the opposite of what Jesus Christ said to do. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 20, it says, "That thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of righteousness. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it." There's no doubt about it. Hanging around the wrong people will take you away from the things that are good, holy, pure. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says that evil communications corrupt good manners. Who do you converse with? Do you converse with other Christians, or do you converse with the world? That separating from the ungodly is important as well, all the more. What a strong father needs to be there to guide his son and daughters in the right way, making sure that they are in church and that that is a priority within their life, not just like a nice thing to tag on among the other things that you do during the week. Simon's son had the call of Jesus. Jesus called him. Matter of fact, Simon called him Master. Simon called him Lord. Wow. Someone that oversees you and has control of you. A Lord. Boy, that word Lord is sure thrown around in our society, isn't it? For him to be Lord, that means complete surrender. Submission unto him. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. He said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. Boy, what does repetition mean in the Bible? It's double important. How about that? Get your attention. There's going to be people that come to him and say, Lord, Lord. They're calling that him Lord over their lives. And he says, just because you use that word Lord doesn't mean you're going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. But your actions will prove if I am Lord or not. He that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And he says in the next verse, there's going to be many that say that. Here it is again. Lord, Lord. Huh. Wow. Do you call Jesus Lord? Is he your Lord? Does he control you? Do you do his bidding? What is your life made up of? A lie or truth? Important you address that in your life, because you may be one of the ones that'll come in that day. Many will come, not just a few. And they haven't proved that Jesus is their Lord because they don't do the things that he's told them to do. While you're right there in Matthew, go to chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15 says there in verse 3, but he answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God? By your tradition. Jesus is not impressed with religions just going through traditions. There has to be a personal commitment unto the Lord to make him Lord of your life. There isn't any force involved. You either love Jesus Christ or you don't. You either have a new birth in your life or you don't. And it's to be out of love and appreciation and thanksgiving that you serve the Lord. So it says that in verse 7. And the next verse says, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." We're not to follow what men say. We're to follow what God says. That's why we're a Bible-believing church. That's why we bring our Bibles to church. And we follow along because we want to do what's right. We want to not follow just a tradition of a church or a religion. We want to follow what God says. Very important. Where's the importance of the Word of God in your life? Do you have it handy all the time? When God prompts you to be able to read the Word of God, do you have it there? When I worked a secular job, I always had a Bible right around me. It'd only take one or two steps, I'd have my Bible in my hand if I needed it. On lunch, that's what I'd take as well. I have two New Testaments and a Bible in my car. And of course, at home, I've got the Bible right in my chair where you normally sit, right at my hand. What's the importance of the Word of God in your life? Are you like Judas and call him Lord? But if the pressure was put on by the world, you'd betray him like Judas, Simon's son? Go to chapter 23, Matthew 23. You're seeing the words of Jesus. You see what he thinks about all of this. This tradition and not putting the importance of the Word of God. Chapter 23 and in verse 32, I call your attention. "Fill ye up the measure of your fathers." Jesus mentions fathers again. He says, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell?" And here he's talking to the and giving out the woes unto the Pharisees and those that call God their Lord, but do not worship the Lord Jesus Christ, his own Son. Who knows what Luke 6:46 says? Jesus speaking, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" Good question. Why would you call him Lord if you're not going to do what he says? Who is Jesus to you? If you have the real salvation that the Bible talks about, he should be an honor and respect in your life. When you call him Lord, to humble yourself before him. It's important for you to take this seriously because there's always a day of reckoning. So first of all, Simon's son was in the best company that he could ever be. And Simon's son also called Jesus Lord. But there's something else that was in Judas's life too. John chapter 12. The book of John chapter 12. John chapter 12 and in verse 4 says, "Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him." Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? And this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. And he had the bag, the finances of the apostles, and bare what was put therein. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always." Simon's son, Judas, he was a criticizer. My friend, it's dangerous to be a criticizer of God's work. This was Mary, the context that we read, where she's bringing a pound of ointment, a spikenard, very costly, and anointed Jesus' feet with her hair. That's a dangerous position to put yourself in. But there's people all the time that criticize the ministry that goes on with God's men, trying to pull them down, criticizing others that worship Jesus, that take their hard-earned money, just like Mary did, bought that spikenard and came and worshiped Jesus. Jesus was the one. Go to 1 Corinthians 10. The book of 1 Corinthians 10. First Corinthians 10 and verse 10. It says, "Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." You saying everything that has gone on in the Old Testament, they're foreign samples to us. And he said, don't criticize like those did in the Old Testament. Because surely that's what Judas Iscariot did. Philippians 2:14, what's that say? Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Do you believe the word of God? If you believe it, do you do it? It says all. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. No excuses. We need to be appreciative of the things that God gives us within our life, the people he brings into our life, the church that you're able to come and worship God and hear the truth. You don't want to be like Judas, a criticizer of the work. Go to Numbers chapter 12, if you would, please. The book of Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12 and in verse 2. And they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses?" Uh-oh. "Hath he not spoken also by us?" They're putting Moses down. They're criticizing Moses. "He's not the only preacher. Hath he not spoken also by us?" And the Lord heard it. Little do we realize that the Lord hears all of our murmurings. Now the man Moses was very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and to Aaron and Miriam, "Come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation." And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him. In a vision I will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. It talks about Miriam getting leprosy and everything. What? Because she criticized. Because she murmured against God's man. God is interested in the ministry that he is given. How many godly, holy churches do you know of that are still carrying on the work for the Lord Jesus Christ? They're getting fewer every day. May we not be caught up like Aaron, the first priest, and Miriam, his sister. Man, did they come down a long way. You understand, when you murmur, God will call you to count. He told them right then, all three of you over here. He called them on the carpet. He didn't play around at all. This is serious. We need to get that out of our lives. Never to be done again. Go to Proverbs 13. I'm not giving you my opinion. I'm giving you the Word of God. That's what God's like. He gave us the truth so we'd know what's right. Proverbs 13, verse 24. "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes, as many times as is needed." Children are not to be left go do their own thing. That can happen in unsaved families, but never in a Christian family. You hold them to account. Look at chapter 19, Proverbs chapter 19. You got a problem with any of this, don't talk to me, talk to God. He's the one who wrote it. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 18. It says, "Chasten thy son while there is hope. And let not thy soul spare for his crying." This chastening is going to cause crying. And it also implies that there's a time period, do it while there's still hope. There's some lines that you can cross in life. You can't come back from. No hope. It's what it says. Look at chapter 29. Proverbs chapter 29. We're taking time to look at these things this morning because it's the crux of society. The fathers and the sons. Chapter 29 and verse 15. Bible says, the rod and reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. God's word doesn't change. We are to be the ones that change. We're to repent. We're to not give excuse, but take it seriously. Another thing about Simon's son, it would have been better. He'd been better off if he had never been born. That's how serious that is. Jesus said it. Go to Mark 14. The Gospel of Mark in chapter 14. There'll come a day when you're not going to hear these things and have these things preached to you. Mark chapter 14 and verse 21. He says, the Son of Man indeed goeth, and as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for him that if he had never been born. Matthew chapter 18 says almost the same thing. When Jesus out of his mouth says that, you can't get more serious than that. Simon's son? Judas? Yeah, Simon's son betrayed Jesus with a kiss. A kiss is a good thing. And Judas used it for bad. The hypocrite that he was. Go to Luke 22. Luke 22. Luke chapter 22 and in verse 47. And while yet he spake, behold, a multitude. And he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with a sword? One of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. We find out that was Peter in the book of Mark. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. In other words, permit this to happen. And he touched his ear and healed him. Betrayed him with a kiss. They sold him out. That's what Judas did. You're right there, and back up just to chapter 19. Luke 19, verse 20. And then another came saying, Lord, here is thy pound which I have laid up in the napkin, for I fear thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up, but thou layest not down the reapest, that thou didst not sow. And it goes on and talks about money. Verse 23. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money? By the way, the money you got is God's money. Wherefore then not thou my money into the bank, that at thy coming might I have required mine own usury. Interest it's talking about. And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that to every man which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. Important words are coming from Jesus' mouth. This is a little different than Hollywood portrays Jesus. You find out what Jesus is really like. Jesus knows that we can take money and make that our idol. We can make that our Lord. You cannot serve the Lord and mammon. Money. Got to keep that in control. Have your finances in order. Make sure you're giving 10% unto the Lord. That's bare minimum. It was a tithe in the Old Testament. We're in the age of grace right now. Grace is always further ahead than the law. Grace is always stronger than the law. We're to give even more than that. And that's what Jesus taught. And the last is that Simon's son committed suicide. Matthew 27. This is the last point. I'll close with this. Matthew chapter 27. And in verse 3 it says, then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field is called the field of blood unto this day. It tells you in verse 9 a fulfilled prophecy as well. Don't take it lightly to betray the Lord. To be Simon's son, to be Judas. Can you be trusted? Can Jesus trust you? Acts chapter 1 tells more of the story. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 18. Talking about Judas here. It says, now this man purchased the field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in the proper tongue, whatever that says, Aseldama, which is to say, the field of blood. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Don't take lightly the things that the world throws about lightly. Don't betray the Lord Jesus with your mouth or your actions. Because the last book of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 20, it says, for whosoever was not written in the Lamb's book of life was cast into an eternal fire. You taking after Judas? Are you taking after Simon's son? What things do you need to repent of and correct within your life that you can learn from this man that the Bible talks about over and over again, even in the short study I brought this morning to you? Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Make sure you're not following in the footsteps of Judas, but that you're following in the footsteps of Jesus. So much the better for your life, for your family. A word to the wise should be sufficient. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being able to speak to us in our hearts and our minds. May we not despise the word that we read and heard this morning. May we not despise the truth. Help us to be the ones that change and repent before you. Have your will done in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. In your hymn book, number 316, number 316. Let's all stand as we sing. The altar's open, you need to come. God's spoken to you this morning. Number 316. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. On the last stanza. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power, let Thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Amen. Tonight's our evening service. Brother Sturtz will be here and his wife. And I pray that you'll be here as well. Try to get somebody to come with you this afternoon. And let's have as many here as we can, so that Brother Sturtz can have someone to preach to. Amen. In our evening service. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of coming to church to be able to hear the truth. That, Lord, that we might not compromise in these last days. That we might not follow the pull of the world. That, Lord, that we would stay away from the character of a Judas. Help us to be faithful unto you. To call you Lord, and then prove that you're Lord. Bless us as we go, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, fellowship together.